Lord willing. We will finish chapter 3, but we're going to be doing verses 10 through 14 today, and I've entitled the sermon, Curvy Road. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. For all those who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Aren't the roads around town pretty bad?
Yes.
I was kind of wondering if I should say that there. You know, roads are supposed to make our life easier, aren't they? You know, out there in front of the Baptist church, you know, last year, the road basically sunk into the ground. And we pay enough taxes. You know, our roads should be wonderful, shouldn't they? They should not get in the way of us getting from point A to point B. And yet sometimes they do. I mean, sometimes things go so wrong, they have to close down a portion of the road. And, you know, that we either wait or we go around. And, you know, it's just not the way roads are supposed to work. All right, so what in the world does this have to do with what we just read? We'll figure it out here in just a little bit. Well, the first thing I want to do is we're just going to do a quick review here. Call it follow the chain. Now remember, starting in here, the Gentile believers were being pressured to be basically to become Jews. Hey, Jesus is good, but you need to do all this other stuff. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now being perfected by the flesh? The Judaizers were trying to tell them, hey, look, you got to keep Moses, you got to do the festivals, you got to be circumcised, you got to do all these things to be accepted, to be righteous. So what do we see here? Paul reminds them that they started in the Spirit. Because they started in the Spirit, are now the works of the flesh, are now the works of the law going to perfect them? All right. Now, just as Abraham knows, believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, this predates the law. God made a covenant with Abraham, and basically Abraham believes God. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you the land, and I'm going to give you tons of descendants. And through you, all the world is going to be blessed. So, it's not the law. The promise actually predates the law. Goes to Abraham. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Notice what the gospel is. The gospel is that we as Gentiles, we get to be part of the seed of Abraham. We get to be, we are in the extended family of Abraham. Not based on doing good stuff, although we want to do good stuff. Not based on keeping rules and regulations, but because we believe God. We believe God. Nothing else. You are not made right in God's eyes by memorizing the Ten Commandments, by washing your hands, by circumcision, or by anything else. We are justified. We become children of Abraham by belief, by faith. One of the few Greek words I know. It's called pistis. And why in the world every preacher has to say that, I don't know. But every preacher I've ever been around who preaches either Romans or Galatians has to mention that. Basically, it just means, what does it mean? It means faith. You believe that God exists, that He is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do. That's an easy definition of faith. Faith is that I believe that Jesus Christ came and He died for my sins, and that He rose again, and He's in heaven making intercession for me. I believe. That's faith. All right. Now, I grew up in the hills of Virginia, born in Texas, moved away. My dad started a church. Dad started a church in his hometown, and there was this mountain called Draper's Mountain. Now, because it's not like the big old mountains we have out here, but these were the Appalachians. But you know what? They believed in putting roads in the most inaccessible place on those mountains. Route 99, going over Draper's Mountain. It was steep. It was curvy. It was narrow. And the thing about it was, if I wanted to go trout fishing, I had to go over the mountain, down the other side of the mountain, to make it to a good fishing place. The road was supposed to facilitate me getting there. Now, wonderful road. If you like hanging on by the seat of your pants. I actually took my girlfriend on a drive on that road, and went too fast around all the curves, and she squealed and yelled and all that. And she ended up marrying me anyway. So, but one day I was going fishing. And right below what we call Dead Man's Curve,
with good reason,
there was a traffic jam. This is the country. Look at that. Do you see skyscrapers? Anything in that picture?
Nope.
For some reason, traffic backed up, and we're all sitting there waiting. Finally, it starts going. Got up there. A truck was going a little too fast, and somebody crossed. The thing about it was, because it's a narrow road, sometimes people coming down, they'd go over the line. Sometimes people going up on this Dead Man's Curve, they'd try to get close to the line, and every now and then they'd meet. Well, this one, the truck missed the car that was over the line, but he turned over, and on that road there was a blockage. So they get the truck out there, and they managed to get it righted and pull it out there. This time there was no loss of life there. But it wasn't the road's fault that there was a traffic jam on it. Since at that time they have widened this road, they have repaved it, they've done other things. And I checked, when I was getting this graphic down, I even checked it. There are still, in my hometown paper there's still articles about people who have accidents on Dead Man's Curve all the time. Because people aren't paying attention. Because they're going too fast for the road. Because there's kind of a disregard for the law whenever they're traveling on that. Okay. File that story away. Let's get on with our sermon here. God's original plan was that He wanted an earthly family. But there was an accident along the way, wasn't there? Adam and Eve. What'd they do? Well, they disobeyed God. God said, He wanted us, He wanted an earthly family, and He told Adam and Eve, hey, I want you to build the whole earth. And they had an accident. They didn't listen. They had one rule, one law. Don't eat from the tree. We've been through Genesis, so we know what happened. We had the flood because man was wicked. We had the Tower of Babel where God told them before they got there, hey, I want you to spread out across the earth, and I want you to fill the earth. And what they did, they said, we don't want to. We want to all gather up so that we don't get spread out, so we can stay together. And God took and he divorced the nations at the Tower of Babel. And then he raised up a new family through Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham that would include the Gentiles. We just read that, didn't we? Hey, in you, in your seed, we'll all be blessed. So there was a path, there was a road, so to speak, that was going to go, from Abraham to the Gentiles. About 430 years later, after God makes his covenant, he adds the law. And because the children of Israel couldn't keep the law, there's another accident. But you know, Jesus removed the blockage, the accident on the road to him having a family here on earth. All right, let's take a look at this. For all those who rely on works of the law are under a curse. It is written, "Cursed be everyone who doesn't abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them." Okay. Now, one of the things that I always tell you is I like to give you good Bible study tips. You know, in your Bible, if you have a good Bible, there should be a little number next to it that tells you where that reference came from. What we see here, Deuteronomy 27:26 was commanded by Moses that once they entered the Promised Land, that they were going to stand on two mountains. And there were going to be curses and there were going to be blessings. And the whole congregation was to recite these and then say amen. Oh, and by the way, they found this altar in between the two mountains in the Holy Land. And just 5 years ago, they found a little bitty lead packet there. And you know what was written on that? Well, first the name of God was written on there. Yahweh. And then there was the words, they could make them out because, I mean, this thing's only 3,200 years old. And it had curse, curse, curse written on it. So, something happened there that the Bible talks about. Here's what happened. There was a blessing and a cursing. Here's what they were supposed to say. It says, if you are faithful and obey the voice of the Lord your God, be careful with all of his commandments that I have commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And something else that was said that day too. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of the law by doing them. And all the people said amen. Notice our quote from Galatians, this is where it comes. They enter the Promised Land. They've been given a mandate to subdue the Promised Land, obey the Lord, but if they don't, there's going to be a curse. And notice that curse. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of the law. Notice, confirm. By doing them. Children of Israel had a hard time doing the law of the Lord, didn't they? For a good portion of Israel's existence, Israel was unable to walk in blessing. They had a problem with idolatry. They had a problem with legalism. They had a whole lot of things. They were supposed to be the shining example of what worshiping Yahweh was like. They were supposed to be a light to the nations. And they were unable to keep God's commandments. They were so to speak, on the road to fulfilling the promises that God made to Abraham. Through your seed will all the nations of the earth be blessed. They couldn't do it. Long list of failures. If you read the Bible, Book of Judges, about every chapter in there talks about their failure. God raising up a judge, and then them the children of Israel repenting, and then other failures. The Philistines, God would raise up the Philistines. King Saul would go against them, and yet he would fail. God raised up David. David and Solomon both, they secured the largest amount of the Holy Land, of the kingdom of Israel. But what happened? They sinned. The kingdom of Israel became divided. The Assyrians came down and they defeated the northern kingdom, carried them off into slavery, deported them. Some years later, the Babylonians would come into the southern part of the kingdom of Israel. What would they do? They would deport them. You see, notice, we had the blessings and the cursings. They're supposed to be the people through whom all the world is going to be blessed if they do what is right. And what happened? Well, the law became kind of a train wreck or a wreck, a blockage for the children of Israel. They couldn't keep God's law. And as a result, God would raise up nations to punish them. And they would repent and come back. We take a look at after that, we see that they were taken over by several groups, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. The Romans actually expelled a huge portion of them in 395. The Arabs came and took over. The Seleucids, the Turks, the Crusaders, the Egyptians, the Mamluks, the Islamists, and finally the Ottoman Empire. Well, that ended in about 1918. Then something happens. They start saying Israel needs a new homeland. They need to come back. And we see the result of that, of what's happening today. But the children of Israel were supposed to follow God's law. He was going to bless them. And then the rest of us as Gentiles, we were supposed to be included in faith. But Israel couldn't do that. Now, Galatians was not written for to beat the Jews up with. But it is written so that we understand what happened to them. All right. They had 613 laws to keep in the Old Testament. You thought the Ten Commandments were a lot. Could you imagine trying to keep up with 613 of them? That's exhausting even thinking about that. Man, we came to the speed limit going down the hill into Socorro. So think about this. How could they keep so many? Well, the truth is they couldn't. Another question there. How could they worship God while they're in captivity? Because they were supposed to worship at the temple. They were supposed to offer sacrifice. And for a good portion of their existence, the temple has been destroyed in ruins. So how do they worship? How do they serve God if there's no temple? How do they serve God if they can't keep up with all the rules? How can they serve God if they're in a foreign land? Here's an interesting reference. Now, it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. It's not about law keeping. It's about faith in God. We're going to talk a little bit more about what the law does next week. But keeping the law was never going to put them in a right relationship with God, because it couldn't. It was never designed to do that. The law was given because of transgression. The law was given. It actually outlines what sin is. No one is justified before God by the law. But the righteous shall live by faith. This is actually a quote from Habakkuk 2:4. It says, Behold, his soul, speaking about Israel, is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. You see, even before Jesus came, God was expecting faithfulness. loving faithfulness, serving faithfulness. God actually knew that there was no way in the world that they could keep all of the commandments that were laid down in the Pentateuch. It's not about rule keeping, but it's about faithful service. It's about faithful loving. It's about faith in God. Sometimes we do the same thing now, don't we? We think if we're good enough, or we have enough faith, or we do this, or we do that, or we do the other thing, that God will accept us, or God will do for us. My friends, it's not about how good you are. It's about having faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, here's a little extra here. In the middle of this book called Habakkuk, it's actually three chapters long. Remember, anytime you find an Old Testament reference in the New Testament, you need to go back and read the whole thing. I read the whole book. Only three chapters, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But it added something extra. Because the idea of living by faith, well, if you read it, you'll notice that there is like sin and punishment, sin and punishment, sin and punishment. And then it talks about faith. And then in the next chapter, just a little bit further in this one chapter, it says this, God's plan. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. You see, this is God's plan. He wants a family, a worldwide family. He wants people everywhere to know about Him and to have faith in Him. And we know that he accomplishes that through Jesus Christ. So in the midst of there being the righteous live by faith, if the temple's burned down, the righteous live by faith. If the enemy has invaded the land, the righteous, they live by faith. If the temple is burned down, if they're carried off into captivity, the righteous live by faith. And by a faithful loving and living, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as water covers the sea. You see, that's what our faithfulness to God helps to bring about. He wants a worldwide family. He wants everybody in Socorro to have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And you know what? It's through faithful living. Now here's the heavy load. But the law is not of faith, rather, but the one who does them shall live by them. Man, bunch of laws. The Ten Commandments hard enough, isn't it? And Jesus even made it even harder. You know, he says, okay, it's not just the letter of the law. You know, he said, you've heard it said that, you know, you shall not look at a you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that anyone who looks with lust has committed adultery in his heart. Jesus actually raised the bar when it comes to the law. It's not just about, it wasn't just about, you know, keeping lockstep, well, I did this, I did that, I did that, but it's even a matter of the heart. It is impossible to live by all the rules and regulations that we find in the Old Testament. And you know, it's even impossible to live by all the things that they're talking about in the New Testament if we're going to do this on our own. You see, because it is impossible for us to please God apart from faith. He told the Israel, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. And if a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. This is the idea. Here's what you need to do. I've spelled it out for you. Yeah, it's a tall order. You know, what's really important about, what's really something about this part, this is basically where God says this to Moses. He tells them, don't live like the Egyptians did. You came out of their land. Don't live like the Canaanites do who are in the land. But here are my statutes and here are my rules. Forsake the old way. Don't take up what the inhabitants of the land do, but live by the rules that I give you. By the statutes. Hard enough. Now, is that that no one is justified before God by the law? Man. Too many times. We think that, you know, if I do X, if I do Y, if I do Z, I get to be approved by God.
You got the wrong thinking here. You are part of God's family by faith. By serving faith. By loving faith. And you know who this faith is ground on? Not upon how good you are, how much you can gin up, but it is ground on Christ's faithfulness. He was faithful to the point of death so that we can live in faith in Him.
We are no longer bound by the law. The law became that roadblock. The Jews couldn't keep it, and God still wants His family. He wants a family that covers the whole earth. They turned the truck over on Dead Man's Curve. Couldn't get anywhere. So you know what? Something has to be done to the blockage on the road. The tow truck had to come and pull off the truck so that the rest of us could get over the mountain. But you know what? Jesus removes the roadblock. Remember, God's plan is that knowledge of Him will cover the earth like water covers the face of the sea. God wants an extended family that goes not only to Israel, but goes to the United States, that goes to China, that goes to India, that goes to Europe, that goes everywhere that there is a man. And it wasn't, the Jews could not be that vehicle. They fell because of the law. Couldn't keep it. So what does they do? Well, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Part of the curse of the law is we can't do it. Christ redeems us from the curse of the law. You see, Israel was cursed. Even at the time this was written, because of their law breaking. They still had the Romans over them. You see, this was a sign of God's judgment. They did not have their own country. They were there, but you know what? They were bound to the Romans. They weren't the city on a hill. They were still the rebellious children of Israel. Oh, they put aside their worship of idols. But they replaced the worship of idols with legalism. By telling those who Jesus had died for that they needed to be circumcised and they needed to become Jews in order to be part of the family of God. You see, what happens is the Messiah assumes the curse. Curses everyone who hangs on a tree. That's Old Testament there. Anybody who died and was placed on a stake, but hung in a tree, whose body was left out, they were considered to be cursed. So what happens? Jesus gives Himself up on the torture stake. He assumes the curse. Think about that. He became accursed for you, for me, for the Jews, for the Gentiles. Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. That's from the first part of Galatians. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We have that word redeemed means bought back. Redeemed is what God did when He led His children out of Egypt. My friends, we have been led out of spiritual Egypt into spiritual Israel, and we are now part of Abraham's family through faith in Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed from a life of slavery. Here's a picture of Sinai. Jesus reset the Sinai covenant on Golgotha. Traded one mountain for another. Deuteronomy chapter 30. It says this, "And when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and you return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey His voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. He will gather you again from all the people where the Lord has scattered you. If your outcasts are to the uttermost parts of the heaven, from where the Lord will, He will gather you, and from there He will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." That's God's plan for His people. Oh, God's not finished with Israel. And you know what? We should not kind of take a look and say, well, the church has replaced Israel. Don't ever say that. God, through Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, He fulfills all of the righteous requirements of the law. And sometimes we look at that forgiveness of sin, and that's wonderful. But you know what? What is Paul talking about here in Galatians? He's talking about family. You are a child of Abraham because Jesus Christ took the curse of the law, and now you enter into a heavenly family, the family that covers the face of the earth. You are spiritual Israel. And you know what? We are waiting for physical Israel to be joined in as well. It's not about law keeping. Notice God said, "I'm going to write this. I'm going to circumcise your heart." And he would say in Ezekiel, "I'm going to write my laws on your heart." You see, the idea is not law keeping, is not rule keeping. But becoming part of God's family is that we have faith in Jesus Christ. That we don't add anything to it. They were trying to add the circumcision and keeping the law and doing the festivals. You know what? You are part of the children of Abraham because of your faith. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ and because of His faithfulness to what God called Him to do. So that in Christ Jesus. Oh, are you in Christ Jesus? We talked about that. In Christos, you are in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's you. That's me. That we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. You notice what happens because of Jesus' death, because Jesus became accursed, because he gave Himself up for us. We receive the Spirit. Wow. I've heard some people try to take Galatians and massage it so that, we kind of take over some of the Old Testament promises. Now, we become children of Abraham through faith. And guess what? That gives us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. That is what the fulfillment of having the knowledge of God cover the earth like water covers the sea. That fulfills the promise God made to Abraham. In you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. It is the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us. But we don't have to worry about the 613 laws or the 10 commandments or anything else. God writes His righteous requirements on our heart now. The blessings of Abraham. We'll close with this. We have a faith father to emulate now. Abraham is our father. We come because of his faith. We enter into covenant because of his faith. You are in the covenant of Abraham because of your belief, because of your faith. This gives us the extended family. You and I are brothers and sisters. You and I are brothers. Oh, because we are now not Mexican or Irish, English, Scottish, African, Nigerian. We are all family. Black, white, brown, yellow, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in His sight.
Right.
Notice, this is a call for us to have unity. God is calling you to be family. To be a holy family. To love one another, no matter what the national background is, because you know all that's been put aside. We are part of the same family of Abraham. And finally, Holy Spirit benefits. Oh, that was what happened when we become part of that family. We receive the blessed Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that one who comes in. First of all, He draws us to Christ. He inhabits us. Whenever we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, He's there to guide us, to give us the guidance that we need. He's the one who writes the righteous requirements of God on our heart. He's the one who grabs us in, who includes us. He's the one who makes intercession for us. Holy Spirit benefits. You don't have to walk around with a big checklist saying, "Oh, what can I do? How am I going to be right before the Lord?" You are right before the Lord because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and your response to the preaching of the faith-filled gospel. We are family. Let's all be drawn together. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that we are one body in You, one family. Lord, help us to treat each other that way. Lord, purge us from any preference or prejudice that we might have. Lord, and let us be truly one in You. Now, Father, for the food that we're about to receive, we are so grateful. We ask that You would bless it. Lord, bless our time of fellowship. Lord, and we thank You for all that You have done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.